Eric Hastines, the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer, kind enough to join us each and every Thursday. Eric, in a hypothetical world that you have no say in, how would you feel? What would your reaction be?
That's the real world I live in now. Correct. What are you talking about?
That's true. I mean, yes, that we all. I feel like all of us to a certain degree. Is there a universe where you can imagine where Donovan Mitchell would make sense for the Grizzlies?
Yeah, sure. I don't know if you have the three cornerstone guys that it makes sense.
I told Mark, like, first off, neither one of us really are buying this, but my deal is
his twin brother is the social media director for the Grizzlies.
That is a good point. He does look a lot like Devin Walker.
They look exactly alike.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Even Donovan Mitchell actually even came up to him and was like, whoa.
I remember the day people were tweeting Devin. This is when he was still working here. And he was at the game, and he's like, I'm going to see if he really does look like me in person. Like that was, yeah. I remember he specifically did that.
Donovan Mitchell went, whoa, yeah, we do. We favor each other 100%. So, no, it doesn't seem to make sense. He's in 6'4" scoring guard. I mean, you basically have the same thing in Desmond Bane. So unless you're making, you can't have two of those guys and one of them play the three. Look, Donovan Mitchell's what now? 9 years in? Mm-hmm. You know,
is it that long?
It's so long. He played for Patino, right?
I believe so. Came out of Louisville. I want to say he was drafted by somebody else.
He's 27 years old.
Okay, so he'll be 28 next season.
Yeah.
Correct. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not horrible, but
yeah, he'll turn 28 in September.
So he'll be 28 for the whole season. So yeah, that's not terrible, but
you're correct. The Nuggets drafted him, traded him to the Jazz.
Yeah, it was the Jazz Nuggets deal. I want to say Trey Lyles was in that, possibly.
You nailed it. Mitchell was drafted by the Nuggets 13th overall in the 17 draft, only to be traded to the Utah Jazz for the 24th pick, Tyler Lydon and Trey Lyles. God, that's way to go.
Well, I'm curious, Eric, what you, and we'll get
Tyler Lydon, by the way, not much of an NBA career.
Well,
than I ever had, but like it didn't pan out quite the way they thought.
We'll bring this back to the Grizzlies in a sec, but I'm curious. Did you see what happened in Cleveland? It's now happened with Phoenix after their loss and then Cleveland. You don't see it very often, a team that won a playoff series, then after the second round series is over and they lose, immediately you get the reports of just how dysfunctional it was behind the scenes. They got shams. Among the things, well, it was multiple reports, though. And among the things that came out, frustration with J.B. Bickerstaff to the point that it sounds like he's could be fired, despite, you know, winning a playoff series for the first time since LeBron left for them. That players were frustrated with Jared Allen because he wouldn't play through a rib injury last night. That Donovan Mitchell was frustrated with the teammates and the coaching staff about having to carry too much of the burden. That his teammates were in turn frustrated with him, so much so that Darius Garland, according to reports, wants out if Donovan Mitchell stays with Cleveland. And then, oh, by the way, this felt like totally unnecessary and irrelevant to this season, but Evan Mobley's camp apparently told Cleveland that he didn't want them to draft him back when he got drafted. All this came out immediately after they lose last night and their season's over. What do you make of that type of dysfunction with a playoff team?
It's never good. It's look, we see teams win games, and sometimes they're winning games in spite of themselves. I like JB a lot, obviously. I had a great working relationship with him here in Memphis. I thought it was a really difficult situation he was in, where he, got thrust into the spot. And it was, look, whether you like David Fizdale or not, JB Bickerstaff and David Fizdale are good friends off the court. And so your friend brings you in to be your lead assistant. He gets fired, and in a lot of people's eyes, too early although we've come to see now that maybe they weren't. Then maybe they were onto something because he got fired in New York pretty quick too. And I mean, remember, LeBron came out and was like, "I can't. What a ridiculous thing to do by that organization." And then New York fired him even faster. So,
last I checked, he's not a candidate for the Lakers job.
He's moving into the front office of Phoenix now.
He was in the front office in Utah.
And then he was an assistant for Vogel.
For Frank Vogel, yeah.
And now he's transitioning into a front office role there in Phoenix.
Yeah, I'm not that. I don't understand that, to be honest with you. If you're on the staff and they got let go, why are you going into the front office?
Maybe because you're still under contract?
I guess. That's kind of how that goes, I guess. But, you know, look, he has a great relationship with Dwayne Wade, and I think that's where the Utah connection came in. And then he wanted to be back on the bench, and man's making a paycheck. But going back to the Cleveland thing, I mean, I hate to hear that, but usually in these situations where there's smoke, there's fire. Starting with the Evan Mobley thing, of course you don't want to be drafted by Cleveland when they've been struggling for years and they've got this young core, and you know it might be a struggle again. They're going to have to make moves. It's also Cleveland in the winter, and you were playing at USC. You think there's better landing spots for you. And I think Jalen Green was drafted one pick in front of him. I think he was really possibly, you know, I remember the reports that he really wanted to go to Houston, and Houston wanted an athletic wing. And I think if Houston had their druthers, they might go back and change that because they don't seem super happy with Green right now in his development. The frustration with Garland and Mitchell, Garland was an all-star. Mitchell's been an all-star. Mitchell's a volume shooter. I like Donovan Mitchell's game, but if this is what's happening with all of that, usually when Shams and these guys report this, where there's smoke, there's fire, and it's easy to pile on.
They were holstering this one for a while too. Like they had this one cocked, aimed, ready, and ready to fire off.
Here's the thing: even though you're right, they got to the second round, right?
Yes,
we knew they were going to. Okay, not one person on the planet, maybe other than the 15 guys in the locker room and the staff and the people in Cleveland, really gave them a chance. Not anybody. There was nobody that said this series is going 6 games, 7 games. I mean, everybody said this is 4, maybe 5.
Yeah.
And they just were overmatched. And yeah, when guys are missing, when you miss Donovan, who missed last night? Mitchell
and Allen.
And Allen and one other,
and,
too.
And Caris LeVert.
Yeah, Caris LeVert, too.
That's three of your top 7 guys. You're not going to beat Boston with that. So, I don't know. I mean, it's a shame because JB, then when he went up there under John Beilein, and you were like,
yeah,
why is old man Beilein taking an NBA job? This doesn't make any sense. He got paid. He walked away. JB was on his staff and immediately thrust back into a head staff. And so, look, you know, JB's teams tend to be a lot of focus on defense, and that's how he grew up, and that's how he learned to coach. And we forget JB was a heck of a player before a couple broken legs sidelined that. But the new NBA, does his style translate? And if it doesn't, and teams are watching other teams, you know, hit 120 every night, and you're struggling to get to 105. I mean, that's financial gain on the line. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what kind of did Hubie Brown in. His success was also what did him in. You know, 10-man rotations back in the early 2000s were not the thing. You played 35, 36 minutes a night. There weren't analytics on literally everything. And if your point average was what got you paid. And if you're playing 26 minutes as opposed to 32, your points per game are going to be lower. Thus, your paycheck's going to be lower. Still a good paycheck, but that's what does you in. And then guys get frustrated. Well, I should be playing 33 minutes, 34 minutes, not 26, 27 minutes. I should be scoring 17 a game, not 13 a game. And it changes your financial outlook. And when those guys, and they're young, and they start thinking about their money and they start thinking about where they're going, the frustration can boil over real fast.
Talking to Eric Hasseltine, play-by-play voice of the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network. All right, Eric, what do you make of the Grizzlies landing at number 9? What were your thoughts when the draft lottery happened?
you know, unfortunate, but part of it, that's the reason you have the lottery. One year they got really lucky and it changed the shape of the franchise. This is not that type of draft. Obviously, you know, they need somebody in the middle. They need a big man, whether that's through the free agent market or through the draft, remains to be seen. If they don't think that, you know, there's a big available at nine that they like, then they may explore getting into the later part of the first round or moving down or, you know, we all know the names that are in there. And I guess it's safe to say because have they pulled their names back out of the hat or whatever?
Not yet.
I don't know.
No.
So hypothetically speaking, if there was a big man that you saw in college and he played in a really big game or two that seems to do a lot of things well but had some questions about durability and he was there, that might be the right fit. If they don't think that particular player is going to be there and there's somebody else there that fits, then they'll roll with it. But, you know, immediately, like you said with these reports about Cleveland, immediately after the draft lottery we're hearing, the Grizzlies are open for business.
Yeah.
You know, these are all the reports. They're willing to shop. And so I think you always have to be that way, though. And so we'll see. Obviously, it wasn't how you wanted it to go. Atlanta gets the one pick with the 3% chance, but do you really want the one pick this year if you're the Grizz? It doesn't do you a ton of good. There's not a game changer in there from the looks of it, like Victor Wembanyama. I mean, there's been other drafts that have been quote unquote weak, and yet you find good players littered throughout the draft. So I know that they took a look at the combines at guys like Zach Edey, and that's interesting there. So, you know, look, there's options. There's options that are still playing in the playoffs that are going to be free agents that you might take a look at. So I don't know. I think a lot depends on what your decisions become with the rest of your roster. You know, Dez, Jaren, and Ja are locked in. You know that Luke Kennard is you know, on an option deal. So, you know, let's throw it out there and see where how the dice come up. And that's what Zach Kleiman and his staff get paid for. So it'll be interesting to see how they operate. And it's going to be a quick moving. I feel like it's about 5 weeks away. We're going to look up and it's going to be okay. It's draft time. We'll have an NBA champion, possibly a repeat champion, maybe a new champion. But we'll see after that what really heats up and what the talk becomes.
I think the other thing that's kind of interested me coming into it, and obviously it's been so long since we've seen the Grizzlies at full strength playing well, I do think this playoffs has reminded you, even if you felt like teams had passed the Grizzlies, like to me it's like the only team I'm still comfortable saying that if I'm pegging it next year that I would put in front of them in the West is Denver. Like it does still show to me, like if you can get these guys
it's a free
back,
for all after
them. Yeah. After them, it's not to say
that there's a lot of people like the Grizzlies.
Right. Doesn't mean the Grizzlies would win playoff series. Like they can go lose competitive series. But to me it does show like Denver, I think, is deservedly ahead. And then after that, like, it's pretty competitive.
Yeah, it is. There's no two ways about it in that you look at this Western Conference and it's a gauntlet. What's gonna happen in the offseason with the Clippers? They've got a new building opening up. There's a lot of talk on where some of their guys may go or what they may do to try to get a core in there that can really, you know, open that sucker with a bang, so to speak. You look at Dallas, they've taken a 3-2 lead last night. Generally when you win game five, and they did it on the road, you go on to win the series because they're now going
82%, I believe, is the number they were saying last night.
It's crazy, but and I think it shows that Oklahoma City is really good, but the experience matters. And so now you got Denver and Minnesota, and Minnesota's got Mike Conley, who's got experience. Rudy Gobert's got experience, but Towns and Edwards, not as much. They haven't made a deep playoff run, and they go out and get Denver twice in Denver, but then they come back and they can't defend the home court, and Denver wasn't losing three straight. But, you know, with that said, you look at New York and these guys, and it's camaraderie too. So, you know, staying in the West obviously was what we were talking about. Oklahoma City's going to be better next year just by the simple fact of what they're doing right now. Denver's still got a lot left in the gas tank. Minnesota's still got a lot of young players that can help them, although they're going to, you know, they need Mike Conley to be good. I think, to be at their upper level. And let's be honest, he's getting longer in the tooth. So how does that work? So I don't have a problem saying that I think the Grizzlies are one of the six top teams in the West. I think that when they're healthy, if they fill that gap in the middle, which is obviously their plan, and they find someone who can play pick and roll defense and fill the middle and set big screens for your wings and obviously Ja Morant, then there's no question in my mind they can get right back in the mix of things.
Eric, we really appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Eric.
All right, guys.